Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Nelcast Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant line will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Bhatt from EY Investor Relations. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Nelcast Limited, I welcome you all to the company's Quarter 2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. You would have already received the results and investor presentation, which is also available in our filings with Exchange. To discuss the company's business performance during the quarter and outlook, we have with us today Mr. P. Deepak, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. S. K. Shivakumar, Chief Financial Officer of Nelcast. Before we proceed with the call, a disclaimer. Please do note that anything said on this call during the course of the interaction and in our collaterals, which reflects the outlook towards the future, or which should be construed as a certain forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risk the company faces and may not be updated from time to time. More details are provided at the end of the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on our website, www.nelcast.com. Should you have any queries or need any further information at the end of this call, you can reach out to us at the email address mentioned in the company collaterals. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Deepak. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today as we review the performance of Nelcast for the second quarter of financial year 2025. I would like to provide you with a comprehensive overview of our current position and our outlook for the future. The Q2 FY25 results have been modest, primarily due to a contraction in domestic commercial vehicle demand and a slowdown in export demand, particularly from the United States, which is a key market for us and is currently navigating through its election period. This has inevitably affected both our sales volumes and price realizations during the quarter. Additionally, the domestic tractor market has shown a flat trend, which has also influenced our performance metrics. Despite these challenges, I am pleased to report that the development of our new products is progressing as planned. We are confident in our ability to secure many more new orders over the next 2 to 3 quarters, which is a testament to our team's dedication and innovative spirit that drives our company. Looking ahead, we are optimistic about the prospects for the coming financial year. We anticipate a resurgence in demand as the election phase in the U.S. concludes and new emission norms come into effect in calendar year 2027. We expect this will stimulate the market, especially in 2026. Furthermore, we are actively exploring new export markets that promise to contribute to our growth trajectory. We are actively pursuing efforts to boost our export share from the present 36% up to 50% in the future. FY25 has been a year of strategic consolidation. We have focused on strengthening our core competencies, optimizing our operations, and laying the groundwork for future growth. As we move forward, we are poised to capitalize on the opportunities that lie ahead and are excited about the potential for robust growth in the coming years. I want to express my sincere gratitude to our dedicated employees, loyal customers, and steadfast shareholders for your continued support. Together, we will navigate the challenges and embrace the opportunities to ensure that Nelcast remains a leader in our industry. Thank you, and I look forward to the continuing success. Lastly, commenting on the financials, the total income for Q2 was 335 crores. Compared with 362.6 crores in Q2 of FY24, the total income for H1 of FY25 stood at 637.4 crores compared to 659 crores in H1 of FY24. Exports stood at 227 crores compared to 219.9 crores in H1, so it's just a modest growth of 3.5% year over year. The EBITDA for Q2 of FY25 was 26 crores compared to 36 crores last year. And the EBITDA for the half year stood at 48.4 crores compared to 59 crores in H1 of FY24. So this resulted in our PAT for the quarter being 9.8 crores and 17.8 crores for the half. The equity as on September 2024 stood at 536 crores compared to 521 in March 2024. Long-term borrowings came down in September, and the total debt to equity came down to 0.57 from 0.63x. So I thank you, and I now open the floor to any questions you may have. We can now open the floor for questions, and I'd be happy to address any queries.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have first question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar Deepak ji, namaskar Shiva sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Firstly, I just referred to your commenting on the result press release part, wherein, sir, I just quote, you have mentioned that despite these short-term obstacles, we remain steadfast in our long-term vision. The new product development is progressing as anticipated, aligned with our strategic goals. So if you could just dwell further, sir, where are we in terms of when you are alluding to the fact of aligning with our strategic goals? And sir, do we have the material that growth is nearing, or are building on a hope story going ahead? Since in your remark also you have mentioned that export has also flattened for the first time. So your comment on the same, sir.
So, Saket, I think, you know, when we're talking about the challenging environment, I think that there's obviously the three biggest sectors that we are part of, right, which is the domestic heavy commercial vehicle, the tractor segment domestically, as well as the export market, right? So I'll just...
Hello?
Sorry for the interruption. Participants, the line for management has been disconnected. Please stay connected while I reconnect the management.
Yes, madam. Hello?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have management online back with us.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry. Sorry about that. Looks like there was some technical issue and a call drop. I'll elaborate on the question that you had asked, Satya. So when we talk about challenges, primarily the three segments that we cater to are the domestic heavy commercial vehicle, tractors, and exports. So on the heavy commercial vehicle side, we are not... you know, seeing a very positive trend for the first half in terms of degrowth in sales. So that is, you know, definitely a negative impact. In fact, we were expecting that perhaps by September or October that we would expect to see a pickup, you know, post the elections and post the monsoon. We are now starting to see signs of that in November, but, you know, we were anticipating to start seeing that in the month of September. So we're cautiously optimistic on that as of now. You know, that's something that we are, has a little bit more to do with the market. In terms of the tractor segment, I think we're seeing a relatively flat segment in the tractor, even though, you know, we have managed to grow in that segment. I think the overall sector appears to be, you know, flat completely, right? And in terms of exports, the challenge has been that if you look at the industry, there is a huge degrowth that's happening in the commercial vehicle space, especially in the U.S. market. We believe that this is temporary, driven by two factors. One, the election that has just concluded, and two, the, you know, potential for interest rate cuts. We believe that there was a little bit of wait and watch to see how that's going to progress. I think part of it is also people don't want to take a loan if they believe that the interest rates are coming down. So there is a little bit of that that's happening. We're quite confident that that will turn around. In terms of the new products under development, we have several new products that are under development in various stages. We've got a good chunk of these will be for the export market, actually. And so we do believe that, you know, we will see this translate, you know, depending on various testing cycles and all of that in the next in the next year or so that the products that are currently under development will translate into actual sales.
When we look at the H1 export number of closer to 228 crore, can you outline where we will land for this year? How should H2 be and what kind of growth can we expect? Secondly, sir, a lot of protectionism from the new government is also expected. So how are we insulated from any change in changes of tariff imposition, if any, on the segments where we operate?
Yeah, so I think it might be a little premature to speculate on the tariffs. It does appear though that, you know, the tariffs will significantly be higher on China. I think publicly what was said during the campaign that Trump had said was, you know, about 60% tariff on China from the 25% that's there today. If that is the case, then, you know, that could certainly benefit Indian manufacturers. The other challenge that's there for them is I don't believe capacities exist for them to even shift away, right? So I think in a lot of industries, the capacity in the US or in North America in general doesn't really exist for them to kind of, you know, try to bring back in any significant manner any business. So we don't believe that tariffs will have a significant impact. Certainly we'll have to, other than perhaps impacting inflation and other things, but for us specifically, we don't believe that that we expect to see any such thing.
And on the export part, sir, how should H2?
Yeah, so I mean, I think right now it's a little difficult to project H2 because we're still seeing a lot of volatility. We expect to see softness in the current quarter in terms of export, which at this point we are anticipating will actually be a little lower than Q2 in Q3, but Q4 we expect to pick up and be quite strong. So that is our forecast as of now. But like I said, there's a lot of volatility. But our anticipation is that we will see on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we will see a dip in Q3 compared to Q2, but a pickup in Q4. So a little difficult to estimate at this moment.
Sir, on the tonnage front,
sorry
can
for
you provide
interrupting, Saket, sir. I would request you to join the queue for
yes,
a follow-up.
Yes, ma'am. I will join the queue. Sir, tonnage was not mentioned in the presentation. So if you could just give the tonnage for the first half and the second quarter. Yes.
Sure. The tonnage for the first half was overall 41,801 tons.
And for the quarter two?
Quarter two was 21,824.
Okay, and what should we end the year, sir? H2 mein kaisa rahega?
Let's just wait and watch a little bit, but it looks to be largely, you know, perhaps in line with last year, right, as it stands today.
Sir, I'll join the queue, sir, for my follow-up and two or three submissions also.
Sure.
I'll wait.
Thank you so much. We have next question from the line of Vidit Shah from Spark Private Wealth Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning and thanks for taking the question. The first question is on the EBITDA margins or EBITDA per tons. We've maintained what we did last year about 11.8, but you know this is largely driven by the other income increase from 2.2 to 4.6, right? Like, so if I exclude this other income, we've actually seen a drop in the EBITDA per ton despite a higher share of exports this quarter. So could you please help explain how margins are trending for us and how they expect it to trend going forward?
Yeah, so the other income that we are that we're talking about here is largely also related to export benefits and deposits on EB and things like that, right? So this is also, you know, we consider that is part of operations, right? So it's not necessarily, I think, so that's why we combine it into, you know, the EBITDA numbers that we talk about. Otherwise I don't think that there's anything, you know, substantially different.
So even then, like, so, you know, we've seen the share of exports increase from 33% to 39% sequentially, but even despite of that, the margins have been about flat at about 11.8 rupees a kilo. So, would imagine, given that exports come at a higher margin, this number to start inching up, but it hasn't. So is there any pressure in on the margin front that you're facing in exports?
Not specifically. I think if you look at margin, one of the things that did happen in the last quarter was that the freight costs have gone up for the export. So in terms of our recovery cycle for the customers, there's a little bit of a lag, right? So that freight cost recovery is, something that will happen at a lag. So that's something that did impact margins.
Understood. And you mentioned that you started seeing a pickup in the heavy commercial vehicle sales in the domestic market. Could you please elaborate on whether we're expecting a quick recovery or, it's going to be a slow and steady recovery through the second half? Or do we expect Q4 to sort of bounce back to what it was in the previous year?
So I think what we know at this point is only that it's going to be a volatile recovery, right? I think it's going to be a. It doesn't look like it will be smooth, right? So it may go up, it may come down. And I'm saying this probably with a little bit of a recency bias, right? If you were to ask me what do the production plans look like for the month of November, if you'd asked a week ago, I would have said, "Oh, not looking so good." If you ask me today, I'd say it's looking very good, right? So that's quite a shift in a period of 3 or 4 days that has happened. So what we do know is that there is going to be volatility. The signs that we see in November are very encouraging. The numbers that we saw in October were not. Right, so this is it's a little harder for us to project. What we are aiming for is to make sure that we're there to capitalize on it. What we are seeing also is that a big chunk of this, whatever we're seeing in November, the increases seems to be driven by the tipper segment. Right, so we are seeing more of the heavy duty trucks in the month in terms of kind of the improvement that we are seeing of November versus October, and perhaps. That has to do with infra spend picking up. I think there's been a lot that's been written about the government lagging behind on infra spends. Perhaps they're trying to turn it around. I'm speculating a little bit on it, but that's the only thing that would make sense to see the kind of improvement we're seeing in the heavy commercial side, especially on the tipper type of vehicles.
Okay. Thanks for that. And just the last one for me is on the sale of this land. That we've been accruing over the last 3-4 quarters. How much land have we? Do we still have that we are looking to sell? And if you could just help us with the cash flows estimated from this.
Yeah. So the we had entered into a deal a year ago, and a big chunk of it was sold.
Gotcha.
And then there were a few bits that was of that land that was still pending for sale, which had happened in subsequent quarters, including the last quarter. With that, we have completed the sale of land, right? It was approximately, about 50 acres of land that was sold.
Okay, so now we're done. There's no more land that will be sold anymore, right?
No, there is nothing on the anvil here.
Okay, thanks so much for answering this. I'll get back in queue and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we proceed with next question, I would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one for question. We have next question from the line of Priyam Shah from Ind Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. So good afternoon. So there are some set of questions from my side. So first one, which is pertaining to EBITDA per kg. So this quarter, we understand that, it was at 11.8, near about 12 per kg. And however, the same EBITDA was close to 15K per kg last quarter. So just wanted to know what impacted this thing. And how do we see this EBITDA per kg moving forward?
So, I think you're referring to the same quarter last year where the EBITDA was higher, right? Close to about 15.
Correct.
11.8 that we're at now. So if you look at the last year, one of the things where we did benefit on that that particular quarter is specifically because there was a reduction in raw material prices, and there was obviously a lag in passing that on as we had seen in the past. So I think that was one of the major factors also that helped us in that specific quarter last year. But I think excluding that, if you were to look at the whole year last year, we were at roughly around 12.5 for last year. So this year, I think we are at about 11.8 is the current number that we are at. I think we've said this publicly as well, is that our goal in kind of the medium term is to try to push this towards a 15 number, but that is based on an improvement in our capacity utilization, where we will start to see some of the operational efficiencies kick in.
Okay, so just wanted to reconfirm. 15 is the now 15 is the target that we would be looking forward in the coming years. Am I right?
Yeah. So I think as we're looking at our pipeline of new products and all of that, so it looks like it will be about a couple of years away in terms of getting to those number capacity utilizations where the operational leverage will really kick into that level.
Okay, and would there be any change in the capacity utilization? For example, what is current and what would be going forward that you are aiming for?
To achieve this
EBITDA per kg.
Yeah. So currently, if you were to look at our capacity utilization, we are roughly at about 55% or so is our capacity utilization right now. And, for us to get to that level, I believe then the number that we need to be at would be around 75% capacity utilization.
Okay. My follow-up question relating to this, increase in EBITDA per kg. So, for example, if we see, would this be led by, higher export volumes?
Sorry about that.
Should I repeat my question or you got it?
Yeah. I think so. We do believe a major chunk of the growth is going to be driven by export. But there are some specific programs that we are working on, even on a domestic side, that will that we believe can also yield growth here. To your point though, I think a significant amount of the growth will come from export.
Okay, and have we onboarded any new customers or any talks with regards to that which we see fructifying in the coming quarters?
Yeah, I mean we've got two new customers that have been onboarded over the last year. Business is yet to start on those, but there's significant, really strong potential, and there are some serious discussions that are happening, right? So I'm which is where my confidence comes from in terms of where the growth would be. But there are some incredibly serious conversations that are happening that we hope will fructify into new business wins within the next 6 months or so.
Okay. So can we consider FY, the current financial year, as a year of consolidation? And could you just give us the time frame when we see things getting better and state a couple of growth drivers?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things that are there. One is, certainly in terms of the commercial vehicle market, we're hopeful that whatever signs that we're seeing in November will continue until April. That's the case. We hope that, we should see our improvement in our domestic volumes happen. On the commercial vehicle side, and then I think tractor seems to be relatively flat. We're not really seeing, I think we see relatively modest growth only even in the long term. But I think as I said, in terms of export, between the market recovery happening, because we've seen almost, I would say in terms of demand, we've seen almost on the same product year over year, we've seen a 30% kind of a drop of the demand. We believe that that's temporary, that it will
bounce back from January, and there'll be a real ramp up probably starting in the middle of next year, and we expect calendar year 26 to kind of be a peak year for the industry there. Right? So there's you know, this is I think what our outlook is that we are seeing in that market. I think I've mentioned this on previous calls as well. We're also anticipating a good number of orders to come from Europe. You know, 6 months ago, really, I think we started to get the first RFQs in. Now we are in some very serious discussions. A lot is happening. We believe that the this will fructify into a lot of new business in the next couple of quarters. And given the timeline of, you know, the development of the new product, the testing and approval, and then getting into production, it could roughly be a, you know, 12 to 24 month kind of a period that would actually be required in order to actually start, you know, seeing those new orders impact revenues.
I think that was very helpful, and thanks for answering my question very patiently. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have next question from the line of Vidit Shah from Sparks Private Wealth Management. You may proceed, sir.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. My question was around the European orders that you're talking about. Any specifics in terms of the customers that you're talking with and the quantum of volumes that we're expecting to do over the next year or 2 years?
So the customers that we're talking to and having good conversations are all the commercial vehicle OEs, right? I don't want to name specific names, but and a few of those are, I would say, extremely serious conversations. I think it's a little premature to put numbers, right? The conversations we're having are very big numbers, but, you know, how much will fructify, what will fructify is still a little bit fuzzy. But I expect that it should be hopefully something significant, right? But I think maybe a little premature. I think we'll have a clear picture sometime in the next 6 months or so.
Okay, but is there potential to get to what, you know, North America does over the next 2 to 3 years in terms of the market opportunity in Europe?
Yes, that is the opportunity that we're working for.
Okay, got it. And we had a big order on the delivery rack, right, quarters back, which was a bit delayed. We started up, started production there. Can you just share any updates in terms of what sort of volumes we are doing for those delivery vans, and you know, how much have we ramped up from off that order that we had won?
Yeah, so those vehicles have been launched. They are being produced. We are supplying parts for those vehicles, the electric vans that we're talking about. But I'd say volumes today are perhaps about a third of what was envisaged in terms of, you know, in terms of the number of vehicles per month kind of thing. So it's still, I would say, in the ramp-up stage. Again, there's a lot happening, especially in U.S. politics. So we'll have to see how that impacts electrification especially. But I think at least now that it appears that there's a certain direction that will be constant for the next 4 years, I think, you know, people who are perhaps dilly-dallying a little bit will have a clear direction and move forward.
Okay, so but, you know, like we'd expect a ramp-up from this case that was only once the industry headwinds subside, or can we expect a faster ramp-up from this order than the rest of the industry?
No, I think this one should hopefully ramp up. It's a relatively new product, right, that was just launched in the U.S. market, so I think, you know, some of the people who would have placed the initial orders will probably still want to do a little wait and watch before placing subsequent orders to evaluate performance.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, we don't have any more information than that. I think the forecast that we're seeing for the next couple of months seems to be that it will continue to be at this level. But hopefully, I think beyond that, it will go up.
Okay. Thanks. That's all from me. All the best.
Thank you very much. We have next question from the line of Rakesh Kumar, who is an individual investor. Please proceed with your question, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I just have one question. What products are we currently developing at Pedaperia plant? And do we anticipate that these new launches will provide us with a competitive advantage in the market?
Yeah. I think Pedaperia, a lot of the product what we are doing are the, you know, the larger products, especially the cast axles. We are, you know, so there is some new product development that's happening with a couple of customers on those type of products. There's also a lot of other products also that are well suited for that line, being a very unique line in terms of its size. So, you know, there's a few more that I think there's good potential that we will win the business on. And, you know, we're fairly confident that in the kind of medium to long term that we will have a pretty good growth there.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side, and all the best for H2.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. We have next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again, sir. Deepak, sir, you were mentioning about some recency bias, and you mentioned about what October deliverables were and how November is shaping up. Can you, I missed your point at that point. If you could just dwell more on the same, sir, what are you trying to explain?
Yeah, sure. So what I was trying to talk about a little bit more was the kind of volatility that we are seeing in the market. If you look at the medium and heavy commercial vehicle space, we were anticipating that, you know, perhaps September or October, we would start to see a recovery. We would see a strong recovery, you know, because we're now done with the elections. We'll be done with the monsoon and all of that. However, that recovery did not happen in October, and, you know, we didn't see signs of it happening in November either, right? Until about a week ago, and suddenly, you know, we've seen the OEs increase their production plans and all of that for the month of November. So, you know, I think I was just highlighting that. You asked me a week ago, November, you know, looked only like a so-so kind of an okay month. Whereas if you look at it today, November is looking a lot stronger, right? So I was just highlighting the volatility that is there and the fact that we are actually seeing numbers in November that we expected to see, even though, you know, October numbers we didn't see in terms of demand from the OEs. So we're just hopeful that this November, this trend continues, and you know, December, Jan, Feb, March continue to be strong, then I think, you know, the potential for H2 looks quite good.
Okay. But are these orders of very short-term delivery schedule? Means, for if they are 10, if they are on, were the orders in the pipeline and only the delivery schedules were changed? Yeah. I only wanted to understand that if things in October were very different and you got to know about better order placement in November, so the delivery schedules will happen in a month's time in that shorter notice, or how do these M&HCV order execution plan out, sir?
Yeah. I mean, it is a relatively short notice on which we have to ramp up and ramp down, right? I think this is a call that's taken by the OEMs based on, you know, their sales data, their incoming orders, and you know, their process. So, and their, you know, decision to build stock or reduce stock or whatever it may be. But it looks like, compared to their, you know, build schedule, whatever they produced in October, the sales were better than what they forecasted, and therefore, you know, they believe with the order position now in November that they need to produce more. So that's, and we respond, you know, fairly quickly to such kind of fluctuations in order.
Okay. Sir, can you give me the tonnage for last September quarter, sir? What was the tonnage?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So for the last September quarter was 22,953.
And this time it was sub 20,000?
This September quarter was 21,824.
This was 21,824, and last was 22. I missed the number.
22,953, last year, second quarter.
22,950.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, and the tonnage for H2, sir, what would be the likelihood? What was it last year H2 tonnage, sir?
Last year's H2 tonnage was approximately about 42,300.
Okay.
So, like I said, this year will be a little harder to figure out because we're seeing a lot more volatility right now. But I mean, I think at this point, we think it will largely be along the same lines. We don't expect a drastically in either direction.
Okay. But sir, when we look at the cost of raw material consumption also, how are these raw material baskets shaping up? And taking into account the EBITDA per kg, even taking into the volatility, is it it is prudent to take into account that we would be in the range of 12 rupees 50 paisa for H2, or is it too early to comment on the EBITDA per kg? Taking into account how the raw material basket have been moving for the first half.
The raw material basket has been relatively flat. I think the moves have been relatively benign, right? I mean, upper rupee, down a rupee kind of thing. So it's been a relatively flat movement in terms of raw materials now. Right. Let's see what happens. I think now with the new U.S. foreign policy, potentially, I mean, hopefully, maybe I'm being a little too optimistic, but maybe some ramp down in the wars happening in the world and all of that. We don't know, you know, how that's going to impact inflation and raw materials.
So what should be the trajectory then, sir? Relatively upward of 1250. That is what should be expected in taking into account.
Stable. I think relatively stable is what we expect, right? I think.
Okay. Sir, on the efficiency and on the cost optimization, sir, what steps are we taking currently and how are we going to benefit from the same? And sir, you have been very categorical in your first call also, when you very well mentioned that this will be an year of consolidation. And this is what the quarter two numbers do speak about. So again, taking into account the comment which you mentioned that we are into this strong growth path that we'd expect from quarter one of the next financial year. If you could just give us some more color and the probability of those events maturing, that would give us some more understanding of what gives you the confidence and the likelihood of that happening, sir.
Okay. So, I mean, I think, you know, the positivity that I'm talking about and, you know, new products maturing and all of that, a lot of that, I think, has to do with a lot of the conversations that we're having with customers in terms of RFQs we've received, the quotes we've submitted, and the serious discussions that we're having, right? The challenge on some of these is, you know, the customer tells you he wants to finalize it by next week and, you know, 2 months later, you're still, you know, having a discussion on this and, you know, that is there. Right? So it's a little difficult to actually project when it's going to happen. But I think the conversations and the sense of urgency that they have also in order to find suppliers and want to move forward on some of these projects with us is very encouraging. Right. So that's why I think we're feeling very optimistic about it. And I think I'd mentioned this on the last call, right? The volume of RFQs for Europe, especially, that we have received so far this year has been higher than probably the last, you know, 4 years combined, right? And we continue to receive at a very good pace some new RFQs for new customers as well.
Right. And can you give some color on the tonnage part also, just to understand what kind of utilization levels can we expect once these RFQs will mature or materialize going ahead? How will the utilization levels or the tonnages would shape up going ahead?
See, a little bit of that is we have to speculate a little bit on what the hit ratio is going to be, right? If we win all of the business, then we'll be out of capacity, right? But, you know, that's kind of, you know, we'll be at 75-80% capacity utilization, which I would say is very good for the industry, right? So if we win all of it, then, you know, we're already, you know, going to exceed that territory. So, again, I don't want to speculate on what the hit ratio is, but, you know, I have, you know, a generally positive feeling and a good feeling about that it will be a pretty decent hit ratio.
Okay. And then you will have more to speak by quarter four on the same set, this European part of the story where...
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I would certainly hope that we'll be able to talk in more detail on, you know, what that pipeline looks like in during by Q4. But like I said, right, sometimes, you know, customer tells you he's looking to finalize within the next week, and, you know, you're still talking about it 2 months down the line, right? So I just, please keep that in mind and don't hold me to these words.
Correct. Only just to end the conversation, yes, sir, it also depends upon what their customer's requirement are. It may be deferred, but it may be delayed, but not deferred for permanently. So even if that discussion does not materialize in few days or few months, it may culminate in say 6 months down the line. But it all depends upon what the nature of the requirement is. That is what my point is. So if you could give us some color on the basis of the discussion you are having with them, how will things shape up going ahead?
Yeah. So I think there are two different types of orders that we could possibly win. Right. One, you know, they're already sourcing this part from somebody, or two, you know, it's a completely new product that's being developed. Right. In the second case, where it's a completely new product that's being developed, they will have a timeline for, when they intend to award, when they intend to start. There may be delays in the project based, you know, maybe they have to go back and do engineering again, re-engineer the product based on testing results and all of that stuff, right? So there is some smaller possibilities of delay over there. In the case where they are looking to resource from an existing supplier, in such cases, I think it's more about them, feeling confident in terms of capabilities as well as cost, right? So obviously there's got to be a cost advantage that they're looking at, or a risk mitigation that they are looking at, right? So in such scenarios, I think there is a lot of, fluctuation that can happen, right? So for example, I already have a supplier, I'm just looking to save cost. I need to get all of these approvals in order for it to work. Sometimes the approvals will take longer, and, people ask questions. You know, they try to renegotiate with the existing supplier. All of these things sometimes take a little bit of time.
Right. So thank you, sir. We look forward for responses from you, sir, and all the best to the team.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand over the call to Deepak, sir, for closing comments.
Thank you, Shifa. In closing, I just want to reiterate our commitment to excellence and a focus on delivering long-term value to all of our stakeholders. The resilience that we have shown in the face of market fluctuations is a clear indication of strength and stability of our business model. We are just navigating through a temporary dip in demand. We are actively preparing for a future filled with promise and potential. Thank you all very much.
On behalf of Nelcast Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.